All right, so a number of weeks ago, we started a brand new series called Dangerous Prayers. And a number of you have asked me, why dangerous? Dangerous implies kind of danger. I'm going to be running away. Why are we praying dangerous prayers? And the main reason why we have called it this series Dangerous Prayers is because these prayers are designed to take us outside of our comfort zones. Which probably gets you to ask the first natural question. Why on earth would I pray a prayer to take me outside of my comfort zone? And so let me just ask you a question. And whether you're religious or irreligious, I think the answer is the same. When last did any real change happen inside your comfort zone? Some of you need to hear this, and we have a golf affinity group, but you cannot lower your handicap in golf by playing golf on Nintendo. At some point, you have to get calluses on your hands, you have to hit the driving range, you literally need to put in the long yards so that you can hit the long yards and have a good game of golf. You cannot get fit by watching documentaries on other people getting fit. At some point, you need to put on the running shoes. You need to start at 1K, 2K, 5Ks. You need to push through the pain. You need to feel the burn. And this is true when it comes to relationships. No enduring marriage goes from strength to strength by staying in a comfort zone perpetually. The same is true with our leadership. No leaders lead great things, lead great businesses, lead for great change by staying within their comfort zones. And the same is true with our spiritual life. And so the way we say it in culture today is no pain, no gain. And the way we're going to say it today is this: growth and comfort can never coexist. Growth and comfort can never coexist. And so we are preaching this series called Dangerous Prayers, which is based on a series outlined by a church called Life Church. And for those of you who don't know, they're the church that sponsors the free YouVersion app. And by the way, if you know how to navigate to the devotional part of that app, there is a Dangerous Prayers devotional. And I know some of you are already lined up on that one. But today's prayer is not a safe prayer. It's not a bless me prayer. It's not a keep me safe prayer. It's not a help me have a nice day prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying those prayers, but today we're going to pray a really dangerous prayer, meaning it's going to take us out of our comfort zone, and the real danger lies in this. When we go outside of our comfort zone, we're going to experience real change. We're going to experience God in that place, and that's why these prayers are dangerous. And so if you're a new believer, or if you're listening online, or if you're joining us here today and someone dragged you along to church, today is not going to be one of those easy, comfortable messages. And maybe this is going to kind of blow your mind as to what you thought Christianity was about. Today is going to be a deep challenge. However, I hope whether you're a brand new believer or a seasoned believer, you're going to see that it's all worth it. So the prayer we're going to pray today is this: Lord, break my heart. Lord, break my heart. And one of the reasons why this prayer is so powerful is because as much as we think we're cognitive creatures driven by our brain, we are emotional creatures driven by our hearts. How many times have you read a great book, listened to a great sermon, and said to yourself, you know, that was interesting, that was encouraging, that was challenging, and then you've gone home unchanged. Now, every single Sunday, I pray that the preaching of God's word and the worship and all the ministry that happens here pierces our hearts. But today, we're all invited to say, God, change my heart. Break my heart. And so today, we're going to look at someone known as the weeping prophets. And for those of you who don't know, the weeping prophets is one of the bigger Old Testament books, and that's the prophet Jeremiah. And for those of you who grew up in church, you probably grew up with these little hand-drawn or chalk-drawn pictures of these Old Testament figures, right? And they were always happy. They always had these smiling faces, and they had these sunny auras about them. And for some of us, our imagination stays there. And so we think about these great prophets of the Old Testament. And maybe it's just me, but in our imagination, they are these kind of weighty spiritual people. They walk in the room and everybody stops and everybody listens. But if you know the Old Testament, you will know that nothing is further from the truth, not concerning their holiness, but concerning everybody listening. If anything, God always sent his prophets in time of rebellion, often with encouraging words, but equally challenging words. If you don't repent, here's what lies ahead of you. And so for that reason, almost to a person, God's prophets were rejected, were treated violently, were even killed by God's people. Same happened to Jesus, by the way. And so as we think about Jeremiah, what was going on in Jeremiah's time is that God's people were at the end of centuries of all-out rebellion. And Jeremiah had a really tough message because they're on the brink of the cliff and he's just trying to pull them back with some warnings. But they didn't want to listen, and so the leaders were just treating the poor with injustice and taking advantage of widows. The poor were treated with injustice, and in fact, some of the people and some of the leaders of God's people were sacrificing their children literally to foreign gods. And this is how Jeremiah writes concerning his heart, reflecting God's heart. Jeremiah 8, verses 18 to 19. You who are my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Jumping ahead to verse 21. Since my people are crushed, in italics, by the iniquity of their leaders, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? And so Jeremiah is describing his heart being a reflection of God's heart. His heart is crushed because of the sin, the rebellion, the oppression, the violence, the injustice. And so here's a big question. Do you want that? Do you want your heart to be broken for those kinds of things that are present in this kind of world? And so let me tell you my answer to that question. I don't. Maybe I'm the only one here, but I want to wake up after 8 hours sleep. I mean, last night in the middle of the night, I woke up. There was a rat in our ceiling scratching around. And every time I fell back to sleep, he would wake me up again. I want to wake up with that not happening. I want to wake up and I want my toast to be perfectly toasted. If you know, you know. I want the butter to have the perfect level of hardness and softness. I want my coffee to be perfect. When I take my kids to school, I want there to be no traffic. I want the weather to be 25 degrees Celsius. Not too cold, not too hot, unless I'm on holiday. I want the rain to rain on my schedule. When there's no briar, there's no parties, Riverside's not having a carol service or anything like that. And then I want it to bucket down and fill up all of our gardens, right? I want everyone to be happy, peaceful. I don't want stresses. I don't want stuff in my house to break. I don't want stuff in my car to break. I want my budget to balance. I don't want concerns, and I want to go to bed peaceful and happy for another solid 8 hours sleep. Or is that only me? And now this pastor stands up and ruins it all by getting me to pray a dangerous prayer. Break my heart, Lord. Disturb my inner world. And the truth is, if you're listening on YouTube, I promise you, just with a few clicks, you can press pause now and you'll find another pastor telling you that God wants you to be so blessed you're not stressed. And if you're sitting here today and if you make it through today's message, you can find a church somewhere else in Johannesburg that's going to tell you that the life God wants for you is the easy life, the hashtag blessed life. If you don't know what that means, ask your grandkids, the feel good life. And you know what? If you tear enough pages out of your Bible, you can have that form of Christianity. Because remember, growth and comfort cannot coexist. But what if God's greatest blessings come from God's greatest breakings? Stephen, that doesn't make sense to me. But what if, let's just consider this. What if God's greatest blessings come from God's greatest breakings? What if the most special blessings from God come on the other side of the pain that moves you out of yourself to care about other people? What if the greatest blessings are actually on the other side of God's greatest breakings? What would happen if God really broke your heart for the things that break His? What if God blessed you? Hashtag blessed. Ephesians 1:3, blessed. If He blessed you with a heavenly burden, a divine burden, a holy hurt, a holy discontent. Think about it. And when I say think about it, I mean really think about it. When did having more and more comfort make you more like Jesus? Now, Emma saying having some nice socks and a nice breakfast and a nice dinner is wrong. No, I'm not saying that. But when we believe that the supreme goal of life is my personal comfort, and when I put that at the apex of the pyramid of my heart, and I will sacrifice everything, including my religious life and my devotional life, for the sake of my personal comfort, here's a promise from my lips. Your heart will become shallower, your relationships more superficial, your faith more fragile, and you won't become more like Christ. Because Jesus inconveniences us. And if you haven't torn this page out of your Bible yet, He comes along and He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Can you see how just polar opposite this is to kind of the Western mindset of putting my comfort as number one? We must deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow Him. This isn't only for the spiritually mature. This isn't only for the people who stand on the stage. Whoever wants to be my disciple, their life is going to be defined by denying themselves and carrying a cross. That doesn't sound fun. Why would we do that? Because we have a greater purpose. There is something greater than my comfort that motivates me. And if we look through the pages of Scripture, this is exactly what we see. For example, Moses. For those of you who don't know, Moses grew up in a cushy environment. He had every comfort, every pleasure at his fingertips. All right? He was in the palace of the greatest empire of the then known world, the Egyptian Empire, and he grew up and he could eat whatever he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted. And one day, he wasn't looking out of his palace in his Egyptian silk jammies, eating his caviar toast, saying, you know what? I'm not going to have caviar tomorrow so that these poor Jews, you know, I can throw them some spare change. God broke his heart. When God allowed Moses to truly see the plight of his people, Moses risked everything. And Moses gave up everything for the new cause that God had placed on his heart. We see that in David, young shepherd boy, youngest of a whole bunch of older brothers who are out on the war zone. And David comes along with kind of a cheese and wine board for his brothers. And everyone's on the side of the field is like, what's going on? And in the middle is this monstrosity of a guy, Goliath. He's in the opposite army, the Philistines. And everyone's so afraid of him. And then he starts hearing what's coming out of his mouth. and he's bragging and he's boasting. But what broke David's heart was he started blaspheming David's God. And something changed inside of David and gave him the purpose and the courage and the calling to do what nobody else on the battlefield could do. And as we say, the rest is history. Nehemiah is another great leader. We see in scripture, he also had a cushy job. He was also living in the palace of one of the greatest empires of the time. And he had this job that some of you would love to have. Because he was literally in charge of tasting 5,000 rand a bottle Cabernet Sauvignons and Merlots and Chardonnays for the king. This was his job. But then one day he was disturbed. One day his heart broke. He received some news about what his people were going through back home. And he didn't just go, oh, shame, poor guys. His heart broke to the degree that he couldn't eat for 3 days. He wept and he mourned and he fasted and prayed. And out of that holy hurt, God set him on a new trajectory to lead his people from strength to strength and the rebuilding of the city back home. Let's look to the New Testament. We get the Apostle Paul. And listen, I'm not going to, these verses are not on the screen. Just listen out to what Paul describes, some of his reality. And if your idea that Christianity is hashtag blessed, then you've got to cut this out of your Bible. Paul says this, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, because they believed 40 would kill you. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. How many times have you been shipwrecked? I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled, have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Be a pastor, they said. It'll be easy, they said. Now, why would Paul go through all of this? Because he had a heavenly burden. He had a holy hurt. He knew that the gospel of God's grace and salvation wouldn't get to the Gentiles on its own. And so he said, I'm so happy to do this for the sake of something greater than me. And I am convinced that the reason so few of us are moved to real faith, to real action, to real risk is because we've believed the Western lie that the good life is the safe life, is the painless life. And we do everything in our power to eliminate pain from our own lives. And even more so, we do everything in our power to protect our own hearts from other people's pain. And that's why this prayer is so dangerous. Because it has the power to give you real purpose. It brings you to the front lines of the war of faith. And for the first time in your life, you may be willing to risk. To risk all and to sacrifice for something that matters to the heart of God and not to yours. And so when you pray, this prayer, be prepared to start experiencing the ache of the Father's heart, which is going to be a reflection of the aches in this world. We've heard about some of the aches in India and someone who gave up a promising career in order to be on the front lines of loving those people. I can guarantee you, she goes to bed every night with a broken heart. Maybe you're going to have a broken heart for the orphan crisis in this country, for people trapped in addictions, maybe the fatherlessness problem of our world, broken marriages, broken families, and the list goes on and on. And let me tell you, it is 1,000% easier to ignore what I say today. It is 1,000% easier not to care and not to be moved. Spoke about Paul earlier. And as Paul is writing the book of Romans, he's just thinking about how his own countrymen, being a Jew, how his own countrymen are rejecting the Messiah. That God is at work in and through Jesus. And he has displayed this in the cross and the resurrection. And yet their hearts are so hardened. And Paul is so broken. He says this, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. A holy burden, a holy discontent. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. Paul is saying, I so love these people. I so want them to see the love and grace of God in and through Jesus Christ that I am willing to sacrifice my greatest treasure, which wasn't a material thing, his salvation, for the sake of them to come to know the loving Father that I've come to know. His heart was broken. Let me tell you about some of the things that break my heart and maybe different to your list. And it's not a complete list by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm not saying that these burdens need to become your burdens. But my heart breaks for those who settle for dead religiosity instead of the life of the kingdom. And as a result, of course, the ways of this world are just going to be way more attractive than the dead religiosity we come to embrace. My heart breaks for those who walk away from family, from church, and from Christ because they've come with adult questions and they've received childish, superficial answers, or they've been told, don't ask questions, just have faith. And so they've found answers to their questions at university and YouTube. My heart breaks for those who walk away from faith and just reject Christ flatly, not because they don't have good answers to their questions, because some people do, not because they haven't heard the gospel, because many have heard it, but because they look inside the church, they see infighting, hypocrisy, mudslinging, division, they see the same levels of sin in here as out there, and they want no part of it. My heart breaks for those who settle for shallow, nostalgic versions of faith that never leads to growth, leaving them with a weak foundation that cannot withstand the rigors and pains and realities of this world that we live in. My heart breaks for people who have spent years and years in church, but have been unmoved by the love and presence of God, and are consequently dispassionate in their life of worshiping and living for God. And quite honestly, my heart breaks for the self-righteous shouting, blaming, politicking, finger-pointing done online and social media, bringing increased division and hostility, all done in the name of Jesus, by the way, when in reality, Christ calls for supernatural unity. He calls for our conversations to be filled with grace, seasoned with salt. He says the truly righteous life is when the fruits of the Spirit is on display in our lives. And my list can go on and on. Oh, and by the way, when I'm not hardening my own heart and distracting my own heart, protecting my own heart, every now and again, God is good enough to break my heart when I see that very same stuff in myself. When I was typing this out, there was a physical pain in my chest. Now, my list could go on, and your list may look very different to mine. But that's what keeps me getting up on this stage week after week after week. So why on earth would we pray for the kind of ongoing pain that Nicole is experiencing concerning those who need to hear the gospel and feel the love of God in India? Why on earth would I ask for the kind of heart disturbance that Paul felt concerning his fellow Jews? Why on earth would I invite that into my life? If the question hasn't been answered already for you, I want to give you two answers. The first one, it is so much better to hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. Now, when God does give you a holy discontent, it may not always lead to a stage. It may not always lead to influence in the global sense. It may not always lead to titles and influence. Listen, some of the greatest burdens you can have, moms and dads, what if you lived out your faith in this way? So that instead of discipling your children in the ways of this world, somehow showing them and modeling for them that peace and comfort is the greatest desire in this world, what if you modeled something differently so that God started showing them their greater purpose in this life? That ain't going to make headlines, but let me tell you, it's going to change eternity. And just so I'm clear, when I talk about purpose, I'm not speaking about the range of small p purposes that distract us in life and keep us busy and unfulfilled for a paycheck. I'm talking about a God-given, heartbreaking, life-shaking, capital P purpose for which we are willing to risk, to lose, and to be hurt and step out of our comfort zones for, because it is worth it and I'm driven by something far more powerful within me. That same prophet Jeremiah, when facing just the opposition that he experienced, he's like, God, I'm going to stop preaching. And then he says, I just can't. I can't stop preaching. It just comes out of me. Even though it's going to lead quite literally to my death. So that's the first reason. It is better to hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. Number two, having broken hearts makes you more like Jesus. Do you know that one of the titles of Jesus? I know we come into Christmas. We love a Prince of Peace. Nah, let me not diminish that. May every single one of us grow in the peace that the Prince of Peace gives us. But we like the Prince of Peace. Do you know what one of Jesus' other titles is? It comes from Isaiah 52 and 53. The Man of Sorrows. We spoke about this a few months ago. That when Jesus served, when Jesus ministered, when Jesus' kingdom broke into this world, when Jesus saw people in slavery, be it to sin, be it to evil, when Jesus saw people who had been treated as outcasts, do you know what caused Jesus to move? Not a good sermon. What caused Jesus to move was a broken heart. The way it was described in the Gospels is moved by compassion. The Greek word in the New Testament literally means that pain you feel in your chest when you see someone who is in pain and suffering. So what does Jesus do? Oh, no. Can't do that. I've got enough problems in my own life. He moved towards pain. He moved towards bondage. He moved towards the darkness of this world, bringing grace, bringing light, bringing life, bringing hope, bringing forgiveness, bringing power, bringing miracles, bringing salvation into those places. But it started literally with a broken heart, our Man of Sorrows, our God. And so when we allow God to break our hearts, literally we become more like Jesus. And I'm not talking about the kind of pain that leaves us immobile, kind of weeping for the world and we just stay there not knowing what to do. I'm talking about the kind of broken heart that makes me so frustrated that evil is winning in certain places. And so I am going to do something about it with this new passion that God has given me. And in doing that, as we bring light and life and forgiveness and grace into the painful places of this world. As our hearts are broken and burdened, so we become more like Jesus. And so I'm going to invite us to pray a prayer together. And then we're going to do something a little bit different. And so I'm going to ask that we pray a prayer, and the words are going to be on the screen. And if you have the courage to pray this prayer out loud, and just for now, I'm going to ask that you remain seated. And then we're going to leave some time, and then I'll lead us into just how we're going to respond further together as a church. So let's pray together these words. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Bless me with a kingdom burden, a godly passion that burns in my heart and moves me powerfully for the sake of the kingdom. I think we need to do that again. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Bless me with a kingdom burden, a godly passion that burns in my heart and moves me powerfully for the sake of the kingdom. Maybe you want to close your eyes. And I want you to notice how God maybe even now starts answering that prayer. Maybe as I've been speaking, a divine burden that had lost its heat and its power and its passion, God just breathed onto that again, reminding you of a purpose that He's inviting you to. And already you're feeling this godly angst within you, a growing flame, a growing passion. Maybe even now, something weird is happening inside of you. God is placing a burden. God is blessing you with a broken heart. And you don't know where this has come from. Don't ignore that. Don't push it away. Lord, I ask you to speak to every single one of us. Father, this is not for the spiritually mature alone. You have asked every single one of us to represent Christ in this world. And that means a lot of things, but today that means representing God's broken heart. A starting point is to just in your own heart, your own mind, to reflect what God is doing inside of your heart back to Him. Just acknowledge, Lord, I'm hearing this from you. This seems to be where you are stirring my heart. And you know what? Even if you have enough self-awareness to realize, oh Lord, I'm not willing to pray that prayer yet, say that to God. Lord, I can't do this. But speak it to Him. Don't just harden your heart. Say it to Him. Confess that